Israel are facing, I would say, the most existential threat that we've faced since the Yom Kippur War. No one knows what those arch enemy of ours are plotting in Iran or in Beirut. And Rabbi Shalom knows that Ein Lonu Ela Avinu Shebashamayim. But one thing I'll tell you, they won't succeed. I want to tell you why they won't succeed. With a pasuk from Hazina. The Torah tells us in Shiras Hazinu, by the way, the Sifri says that in Hazinu, in the song of Hazinu, Yesh Loi Heova, Hehoive, Veheosi, the whole past, future of Klal Yisrael are embedded in this Hazinu. It might be in Ramazim, but all our history is foretold there in Parshas Hazinu. And in Hazinu there's a pasuk which says the following: Onoichi af ehem, ashbiseim me enosh zichron. The Bein Yishleim said, I would have, Klal Yisrael, Aso shakua in Averus, says the Rabbeinu Shalom, that I would actually, afeyam really means push them into a corner, far away, where they will never behold, they will never be heard of again. That's what I would have done. Ashpisei me'enish zichrom. The Averus is so terrible that I would push them and they would never be heard of again. Lulei kas oyev, if not for the anger of the enemies, and yoimru yodeinu roma v'lo Hashem po'al kozois. They will say, if I destroy Klal Yisrael, they will say, ha, you know why they were destroyed? Because our gods were greater than their gods. So I can't destroy Klal Yisrael. Kilu Rabbeinu Shlom's hands are tied. He can't destroy Klal Yisrael. Because the goyim will say, we won. The Rabban says that the Rabbeinu Shloilom doesn't need to show his power to the goyim to show them, no, I won. That's not the reason why Hashem has got to save Klal Yisrael. The reason why Hashem has got to save Klal Yisrael is because if he doesn't, there will be no one in the world who would realize that there is a creator. The goyim will go about their business and the world will never come to its tachlis. The tachlis of this world, the bria of this world, was created in order that the world should come to recognize that there is a creator who controls history and nature. And without Klal Yisrael, there'll be no one there. My tachlis and habriya will be lost. Only Klal Yisrael are able to fulfill the mission of showing the world that there is a Boira Olam who controls history and nature. And therefore I can't destroy them. The problem is that if Klal Yisrael are so meluchlech bechet, and there's no difference between them and the goyim, and that's why the Rabbeinu Shlom would have. Because you can't see the difference between Klal Yisrael and the goyim. They look the same. They're meluch mechet, but they are the meluch bechet, and the goyim are meluch mechet. There's no difference between them. Anoich rafeyem. Yile aroyes, avoy de zora, shrich astomim, at the time of the Chorban HaBayis, I've got to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They don't look any different. Well, if they don't look any different, so how can Klal Yisrael show the world that there is a Rabbeinu Shlom if they are Meluch Lechet, as much as the Goyim are Meluch Lechet, and I really ought to destroy them? Now I want to tell you a vort from my uncle with one or two embellishments of my own, but mainly it's the vote of my uncle, Rav Moshe Eisenman, Zal Gezonen Stark sein, who, by the way, wrote, I don't know if nobody ever opens the Yecheskel art scroll. Yecheskel is too difficult for anyone to tackle. But there is a Yecheskel art scroll, absolute brilliant work, which is written by my uncle, Rav Moshe Eisenman, who translated and explained Yecheskel. It's a mammoth work. And there he brings a nevuah from Yecheskel. Yecheskel has a vision. And in this vision, he sees the following. V'hine, behold, shisha anoshim boim miderek sha'am elyon asher mofne tzafoina. Six machablim, six destroyers, are coming towards Yerushalayim, and they're coming from the tzafoin, from the north. The north, of course, represents Bavel. Tzofon Tifotach Aror, that's where the first place of Mikdash was destroyed. So from the north, there are coming six mechablim. Ve'ish kli ma'potse bi'odah. Each one of these six mechablim have a sword in their hand, have a weapon of destruction in their hand. This is a nevuah which Yecheskel has. Ve'ish echot b'soichom. Amongst the six, there's one man who stands out. His lovish badim. He is clothed in linen. Vekeses hasofer b'mosnov. And he has the scribe, the slate of the scribe on his loins. Yecheskel is being misnaber. He's prophesying on the Chulban Yerushalayim that there will be six chamechabnim who will come, the shluchei Hashem, and each one will have the weapon of destruction. The problem is, this one of the people are described more than the others. They all have ish mapotzei. They all have their clay mapotzei. But there's one other person who's described v'ish echot v'soichom lovish badim v'keses asofer b'mosnav. He's got the slate of a scribe on his loins, and he is dressed in white. So, who is this man? Says the Medrash in Eicha, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Malach Kosher Shebenel. This is the hardest, the most destructive Malach of all. Ze Gavriel Shenema, Ve'isha Echo B'soichom Lo Vishpati. This is Mount Gavriel. And that's correct, because Mount Gavriel is known to be the Malach, the most destructive of them all. He's the Malach Hamamuna al Ho'esh. As I state in the Gemara in Pesachim, Guftes, he was the one who was Ha'ifech Es Sedoim. He destroyed Sedoim. He was the one who destroyed the army of Assyria, which were amassed outside the gates of Yerushalayim. So obviously he was the one who was sent to destroy Eretz Yisrael and to make the Chulban. Gavriel is the most destructive, he's the Malach HaMumuna Al Ha'esh, and he's always been doing that. So the Medrash says the following, Gimel Devorim Hoya Oisei Malach Meshamesh. This Malach had three functions. Kasanta, which is an executioner. Sa Klata, very hard to pronounce, which means a sofer. V'kayin Godol, Shenem Avish Echa B'soichom Lovish Badim. Who is Lovish Badim? Who is clothed in white linen? That's the Kayin Godol on Yom Kippurim. So he served three functions. A, he was an executioner. B, he was a scribe. In other words, he had this slate, the slate of the sofer, which he was inscribing the fate of Klal Yisrael. He was writing down the fate of Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael's gezeira, nigza, They now have to be destroyed. We are coming to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about the first Beis HaMikdash. This was the tachlis of Gavriel HaMalach. So we understand the slate of the Sofer, that's the Psak Din. We understand the executioner. But the problem is, what's the third one? What's the Kohen Gadol? What is he doing as a Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol is Lovish Badim. When is he Lovish Badim? The Kohen Gadol is Lovish Badim when he goes Lifnai V'Lifnim on Yom Kippur. We're talking about this destruction of Klal Yisrael. We're talking about the end of the Churban. Sorry, the end of the Beis HaMikdash, the Churban Habayis. So how does a Kohen Gadol come into this picture? In order to understand that, we have to read out a Medrash and the Maral's explanation. The Medrash says the following: when it came to Avraham Avinu and the Bris Beis Masorim, it says, Vayoma Hashem Elokim b'mor eda ki rishana. Avraham Avinu wanted to know from the Ribbono Shel Olam, how do I know that Klal Yisrael will inherit Eretz Yisrael? So Vayoma HaKadosh Baruch Hu said lo, Kholi Eglo Meshuleshes, Ve'ez Meshulesh, Ve'ayah Meshulesh, Ve'tov HaGoyzel. Take these following korbanos and split them, and this will be in the Brisbane, I'm sorry, and this is your answer. That's better. Firstly, what's Avraham Avinu's question, and what's the Rabbi Yishayim's answer? He says, how will I know that Klal Yisrael will inherit Eretz Yisrael? He says, go and take these korbanos and split them in half, and then comes the Bris Beis Masorim. What was the question and what was the answer? Says the Gemara, it's a Gemara Megillah, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Ilamolei Mamodos, if not for the korbanos, Mamodos are the Klal Yisrael stand by the korbanos, Loi Niskayim Mishamayim V'Oretz, the world would have been destroyed. Shenema, Vayoma Hashem Elokim B'Moida, Oma Avraham Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono Shel Olam, Shema Bonayi Yuchotim, Ve'ato Oysa Lehem Ka'anshei Doya Mabul, Ve'doya Flogel. Oh, you promised me Eretz Yisrael. But how will we know we will keep it? Maybe Klal Yisrael will sin, and they will sin like the Doya Flogel and the Doya Mabul, and they will be destroyed, just like that. They'll be, how do I know that we will keep the land? Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's the Bamo Eda, Amalek Kachno Li Egel. The answer was, B'schus HaKorbonos. B'schus HaKorbonos, Klal Yisrael will never end up like the Doya HaFloga or the Doya HaMabel. Says the Maral, the reason is the following. Although Klal Yisrael can be meluchluch bechet, they can be doing the same aveiros as the rest of the Umos HaOlam. And they can look on the surface like the rest of the Umos HaOlam. However, it's not their essence. It's not their essence. They can be influenced, but it's not the essence of their being. The Nishmas Yisroel remains pure. It's exterior, it's external to them. The Averis they're doing, but it's external to them. It's not part of their essence, as opposed to the Goyim, that is part of their essence. I think I once heard a Moshul, and I think it's a very good Moshul. It expresses what the Maral means. Yeah, I'm very bad with my hands. I'm the type of person who, If a picture falls off the wall, I call it a builder. I've never ever been able to knock a nail into a wall. Either the nail goes crooked or my thumb gets it. Some people just don't have any skill with their hands. So when I come to changing my oil, it doesn't go well with me. And somehow or other, my hands get all splashed with oil. It just doesn't work for me. But my hands are all that covered by oil. But you know what? You know what I can do? The oil's on my hands, but I can go to the tap and wash it off. Have you ever seen a car mechanic's hand?
Black.
Pardon?
Black.
Yeah, black. Because he's working with oil all the time. The oil is ingrained into his flesh. It's part and part. You can't wash it off. But I wash it off because it's surface stuff. But a car mechanic is so ingrained with his hands that he can't wash it off. Says the Maral, that's the difference between Klal Yisrael. External. It's incidental. He calls it mikra. Klal Yisrael have sinned like Yom HaZayinot. They've been influenced. But it's not their essence. I once heard, I might have mentioned this here before, it's a bit of digression, but I once heard from Ramosha Shapiro, Zechet San Livrocha, or Beshem Ramosha Shapiro, trying to explain why the luchas are round, we put them in the shuls, they're round and they're meant to be square. Where does it come from? I don't know the history of this, but the idea was the following. He says there's a difference between a writing, when you write something on paper and you engrave something on stone. If you write ink, you write with ink on paper, the ink can fade. Yeah? The ink can fade, and with time, the writing disappears. If you engrave something on stone, the writing can also disappear. If you get if the dirt gets into the grooves of the engraving, so it fills up the hole, and once it gets thicker and thicker, higher and higher, you can't see the writing at all. You're finished. You've got a set of stones, two tablets, and you can't read the thing. What's the difference? The difference is with the ink, it's disappeared forever. With the graven stone, if you dig and dig, you can dig it out and you can find the stones again. You can find the writing again. He says, well, that's what Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael can be meluchlich bechet. They can be meluchlich bechet. But in their heart, we stood at Sinai. We heard the Rabbi Shalom speak, and every neshama of Klal Yisrael was there. Every one of us was there. So we heard the Rabbi Shalom speak, and that was engraved in our hearts. That's the lucha, is heart-shaped. It's engraved in the heart of a yid. He can be meluchlich and meluchlich and meluchlich. But if you dig hard enough, you will find your essence. Because your essence doesn't change. Your essence is a nishmas Yisroel. And in the work which I have been doing for the last 45 years, I've seen it over and over and over again. A yid is a yid, and he's something they call it the pintel yid. The pintel, deep inside in every yid, there is the nishmas Yisroel, and that can be found again, it can be dug out. And therefore, it's only surface stuff, says the Maral. And therefore, the Rabbi Yishayim says to him, you might be meluchlich bechet. You might look like the goyim, but I'll never destroy you because you can always do tshuva. What's the famous? It's the Gemara, Shal Nevuah. See, if I don't prepare. As it goes, they asked Nevuah, what? Ma'u, Shal Chachma, Shal Nevuah, Ma'u, Chayta Ma'u. What would happen to him? One said, what would happen to a Chayta? One said, Sam Thomas. They answered Thomas. So you can't turn the clock back. You've done an avera, a terrible avera. You murdered someone. So you can't turn the clock back. And Rabbi Shlomo Asma said, Yaseh Tshuva Yechapeloi. If Yaseh Tshuva means you dig deep enough, you'll find your essence. And that's represented by korbonos. Because korbonos is an external act. What are you doing? You take a korbon, you shecht it, and you put the dam on his behalf. That's external. How are you going to... How? What does it do to us? Korbanos are only given to Klal Yisrael. The korbanos is a trigger, says the Ramban. The Ramban says it's like there for the grace of God go out. How to go there? You look at the behemah, yeah, and the behemah's being nishchat, and a yid understands suddenly you trigger to the yid who he really is, and that should be me. With that he digs deep into himself. And he finds his essence. The korbanos are really external. Why? How can it help if we're so meluchlich bechet internally? How on earth is it going to make a difference? An external act. The answer is that's not who we really are. We need something to trigger our essence, and out it comes, and we dig deep in within us, and we can do tshuva, and Klal Yisrael can become the old Klal Yisrael again. That is the answer of korbanos. You'll never be like the Doya HaFloga or the Doya HaMavol, says the Ribbono Shel Olam to Avraham Avinu. How will I know that we'll get Eretz Yisrael back? We will never lose it forever because you are Yidden. And you have a Nishmas Yisrael which is deep, deep, deep inside. You know who your Creator is. And that's what the Avodah of Yom Kippurim is. Again, look what happens. The coin that God goes bifnai v'lifnim, and he makes us zrika. Makes us zrika. Bifnai v'lifnim once a year. And Klal Yisrael can be meluk lach b'chet. And all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael are a new nation. They are reborn. And that's represented by the two seirim. You take a soya, and that's bifnim. And you shef the soya, and you zorik the dam. And in the moment you send the azazel away, because that's what triggers, that's what the avodas kohen gadol is. The avodas kohen gadol is the answer, that's korbanos, is the answer of the Ribbono Shel Olam to Klal Yisrael, that you can always do tshuva, and you can always return to me. Anoichi afeim, I said, I would have to destroy you. But even though you have looked like a cat, I can't do it because of the Chil Hashem. You are the ones who have chosen at Har Sinai to represent me. You are the ones who have to fly the flag. And whatever you look like outside, there's another message which says, it's that Esau and Yaakov, it says that famous message about Esau and Yaakov, when Rivka brought the Gedeism to Yaakov, the message says what? The Moshel, it's a Moshel of that two people are standing in a Geirin, in a granary, and the chaff is flying up in the air, they're winnowing, and the chaff flies around the air. So the one who's all hairy, that's Esau, so the chaff falls into his hair, and he's completely malukh, he can't get it out, it's full of hair. And the other one, he's bald. The one who's bald just goes like this. And it's gone, his head is also full of chaff. But he just gives it a wipe and off it goes. That's me in the oil. That's me in the oil. You just give it a wipe and it's kinuach. Kapara, Rashi says. What's the Rashi say in by a kapra by mincho? When Yaakov said kapra mincho, that's kinuach. That's wiping off. Kapara is a wiping off. The kapara which Klal Yisrael gets on Yom Kippurim or through Korbanos is a wiping off of the chet which was only surface, but it's not intrinsic to whom they are. Therefore, chet propon of bamincha, kinuach, just slide it off. And therefore, in the moment, this is my uncle. In the moment of the worst destruction, Gavriel is coming to Eretz Yisrael to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He's got a slate on his Mosnov. He's writing down the Pesach Din that Klal Yisrael are going to be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael and they're going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and they're going to go to God for 2,000 years, 1,000 years, 70 years, but they're out. They're out. That's what he's writing on his slate. And he's got his sword ready to destroy, but at the same time he's dressed as a Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol was able to effect a kapora for Klal Yisrael on Yom Kippur. So there's this never a moment for Yirsh. Yirsh doesn't exist amongst Klal Yisrael. Nobody understands how Klal Yisrael could have lasted 2,000 years in Golus with such persecution and still cling to the Ribbono Shel Olam and not give up. We never give up. We have Haftocha, Anoichi Afeya, even though the Ribbono Shel Olam said, you look like the world, but I know that you're not. Deep down inside, the Pintel Yid is always there. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol is the picture of the Kohen Gadol. Lovush Badim, which Gavriel was, gives us an internal feelings of hope that whatever we face, Klal Yisrael will never be destroyed. You can have a Kesis HaSeifer, you can have his sword in his hands, that always there's a vision of the crying God who goes to fly with him and falls Kapor of Israel. And Klaus will remain the only flag by which the world can fly to its Tachlis. The Tachlis will come one day. It will come one day. It will come with Mashiach. But we will be flying that flag. The Rabbi Nishan has kept us alive as a nation with hope for Mashiach, because we, and we only, are the ones who can fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tachlis. So my brocha, or our brocha, is we need lots of tefillah. Lots of tefillah is Tisha B'Av. Lots and lots of tefillah. We should be mourning based on making the fact that we can mourn. Shall I just tell you one last thought? What time do I have to start?
5 minutes.
Huh?
You've got a few minutes.
A beautiful vort, which Rabbi Von Gurwitz showed me 100 years ago. It's wonderful. Do any of you have a sefer called Kehilas Yitzchak? Have you heard of the Kehilas Yitzchak? Yeah, Al HaTorah. If you've got the sefer, look in Parshas, I think it's either the Devarim or Vayeshanan in the Hagos. It's a beautiful word. I'll finish it quickly just to give us a chizuk. It's from Rav Chaim Volozhin. Rav Chaim Volozhin asked the question. It says in Chazal, Kalam is Abel al Yerushalayim, Raya v'zeicha v'simchasa. Somebody is Misabel in Yerushalayim will be zeicha to see its simcha, to see its rebuilding. Rebbe Chaim Volozhin asks in the Kasha. It says Kalam Misabel in Yerushalayim, Raya v'zeicha v'simchasa. It should be Yireh v'yizke. He's not seeing it now. He's being Misabel now. If you're being Misabel now, you're not seeing the Chorban. It should have said Kalam Misabel al Yerushalayim, Yireh v'yizke. It doesn't say that. It says Roya v'zoicha. It says Rav Chaim Volozhin, very difficult word. He says that by Yosef HaTzadik, by Yaakov, it says by Yemoy Le'nochim. Yaakov could not be comforted. When he had, for 22 years, he knew that Yosef had died, and he couldn't be comforted. Rashi brings the Chazal. The reason why he couldn't be comforted is because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into this world Koyach HaShikcha. It's a chesed. We would have the pain that we have when somebody passes away close to us. If that pain, the initial pain, would last and last and last and last, we couldn't exist. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into this world the Koyach HaShikcha. But that Koyach HaShikcha only works if the person has really died. Then there's in the teva, there's the ability to forget. But if the person is really alive and he hasn't died, then the Koyach HaShikcha doesn't work. As I bring Rashi. So therefore, since Yosef was still alive, then Yaakov couldn't stop mourning. It was there all the time because Yosef was still alive. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, you know what the world has been telling us the whole time? The world has been telling us, Christianity has been telling us, that you know, you're sinned, you're thrown out, and you're gone. That's it. Everything which you ever had, any connection which you ever had with the Rabbi Yishlam has been severed with the Churban HaBayis. You've been thrown out of Eretz Yisrael for 2,000 years. You ain't coming back. It's all over. That's been the Christian approach. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, if that's the case, how can Klal Yisrael sit and mourn? How can Klal Yisrael sit and mourn? On Tisha B'Av, there have been hundreds of millions of feeling sitting on the floor, and those who really feel it will be bursting in tears. Those who sit by the coastal on the floor, they sit there for hours and they're crying their eyes out. What are they mourning for? A building which was destroyed 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine people in 2,000 years sitting on the floor and bursting out tears on the Twin Towers? How can that be? If it's dead and it ain't coming back, there's no way that we could warn, because the Koyach HaShikcha would kick in. If Klal Yisrael for 2,000 years have been mourning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that is the biggest riot that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, or else they couldn't mourn. So Kol HaMisabel al Yerushalayim Raya v'Zoicha, but the actual fact that he's mourning, that's the biggest present. It has to be that the Beis Hamikdash is being rebuilt. You are rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash by mourning. It's in present tense because you're able to mourn. You should be clapping. Isn't this a beautiful thought? That's the message. The message is that however downtrodden we are, or however much we look like the rest of the world, the Ribbono Shel Olam will never abandon us. And whatever they're plotting in Iran, Chas v'Shalom, whatever they're plotting in Hezbollah, in Beirut, will never materialize. Because we are the Am HaMivchol. May this Tisha B'Av be the final one, and we all be zeichah to the Gula of Yeshua, the name of Amen.